I'm just going to build a little bit on what Jess say. Then Van is going to come and share his heart too. Then Jess is going to say something. Then we're going to just wrap up with a time of prayer. You know, we may go beyond 6:30, but if you need to go, just go ahead. Again, it's 4 hours. We have tons of things in our heart that we want to download, but that, you know, we are not in a hurry. We just want to do what the Lord is saying. Why don't you take me to Jeremiah 29, you know, Jeremiah 29. We just want to build a little bit on where the Lord seems to be kneeling and speaking. Then Van is going to take over, you know. I was really provoked by what Jess said. You know, my idea is always to provoke people. You know, not provoke so that we get offended, but provoke in reaching for the Lord. That's why we need one another. I love hanging out with people who are hot, because they kind of provoke me. And by the way, you say your English is bad, then I'm in disaster. My is disaster, you know. So yours worse? Okay, good. At least I'm not the worst. Yeah, so he says English is bad. I say, man, then I'm in disaster. Okay, no, but come back to that, is that the idea is not, you know, I love about this is that, you know, Jazz, but no, they are not, in a way, not famous, have a big platform, but man, maybe I'm saying something wrong, you know. But they have real history with the Lord. And the Lord knows them. And the beauty of this is that this shouldn't be just restricted to Jazz, Van. It's for everyone, because every one of us have God. It's not just for a few super saints, superhero. I always say that we have passed the era of super saints. God is raising up the nameless and faceless who believe in the Lord, who will press in. We all can have a history with the Lord. If we only have Jazz, Fund, and Alice, the world has no hope. We need everyone. Everyone has to be that true voice of the Lord. More than just a true voice of the Lord, you have real, authentic, deep history with the Lord. Man, what brand TV do you buy? I'm going to buy the same TV. No, I'm just kidding. And that movies, you know, which movie do you watch? And I'm going to watch it multiple times. You know, I love this because I know George Otis Jr. personally. Every time I talk to him and I watch the transformation video, I did not just get provoked, I get depressed. You know what? I say, man, if this is transformation, this is revival, Singapore is in bad shape. Not so much I become so depressed and I become hopeless, that provoked me to pray even more. And my ideas of God visiting a nation has far surpassed our traditional understanding of revival. You know, we are revival centric. We think that revival comes, it solves all the problem. No, I mean, it does not. But the key is that if we all have a real, authentic history with the Lord, Singapore will change. And thank God it's not just Jess or Van. I mean, they are going back tomorrow. You may stay a little bit longer, so we may have a little bit of hope. No, I know. But every one of us can have. And my heart, even I tell the young people, is that I want to far surpass all these people, the John Wesley, the Charles Spurgeon, the Apostle Paul, because we have the same God. You know, Singaporeans, sometimes we have this mentality, the Holy Spirit is smaller in Singapore, so we can't do it. You know, when I came here from Kansas City, God put the dreams in my heart to do 24-7. Right? Singapore cannot be done. It's like the safety net in Singapore is so tight, the Spirit of God cannot go past. No, Jesus is not any smaller in Singapore. The same Jesus that worked in Jess Life, worked in Van, worked in Mike Picker, worked in Lou Anger, worked in Bill Johnson, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, is the same Lord that worked in us. We can. We just need to believe and press in. It's not how great we are, it's how great our God is. That is the key thing. And if it's just a few person, the world has no hope, especially to the young people. You got to do better than us. Amen? You got to do better than Jess. You got to do better than, I want to say Jesse. No, Alice. You got to do better than Van. You got to do better than Mike Bicker. You got to do better than Lou Anger, and so on and so on. So that the nations have hope, but more primarily is for yourself. Don't shortchange yourself, because history with God is our inheritance. You're being real, being deep, being authentic with the Lord is your inheritance. You owe it to yourself to have that. And it's not good enough to just hear story. I think I'm excited, I'm provoked, but I say, man, no, tonight we are not going to eat seafood. We are going to fast and pray. And I want to buy the same brand of TV. No, that's just a joke. But if he has that, of course, not like for like, not the same. But if he has that encounter with the Lord, I want the same encounter with the Lord and even more, and have a real history with the Lord and even more, so that every one of us have a history to tell the world. And people say, wow, who is this God? If you can have it and you're nameless, faceless, we want to touch that Lord. Amen. So raise the benchmark higher, and we have to go for it, and every one of us can have it. If not, the world has no hope. But it's more than just we are saving the world, but that is who we are. We owe it to ourselves to have a real history with the Lord. Turn with me to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9. If there's one thing that we provoked you today is that, then we are successful. You know, we are all reaching for that. Especially the young people. How many here is below the age of 35? I'm 26, so yeah. Just raise it higher. It's not a sin to be young, you know. If you do want it, I can exchange with you, you know. Wow, you know. Go further. Our ceiling should be your floor. You have to go further than us. You know, my heart is like Prophet Samuel about David. Samuel said, I will not sit until David comes. Amen. So you have to go further. You know. Please beat Jess. You know, not in the spirit of competitiveness. Singapore is kiasu. Everything has to be. It's true. Everything we have to be number one. Why we can't be number one in having God in this place? Better than seaport, airport, you know, airport, and so on. If people come to Singapore, it's not because they are impressed by our infrastructure, our building, is that we heard that God is here. We are coming to Singapore because that's the reason why we put up this verse, Zechariah 8:23, is a promise. This is 1989. God spoke to me in an audible voice that people come. It's because they heard that God is with you. I didn't even know there was a book of Zechariah then. No, I haven't read through the whole Bible. May one day people come to Singapore because they heard that Jesus is here in this nation. People are not impressed because of infrastructure, MRT, whether breakdown or not. And so these are all not major issues. But Jesus is in Singapore. Then truly we live out our destiny as a nation. To me, the highest destiny of Singapore is not even Antioch or Asia. We are called the Lion City. You think that's prophetic? In this region, there's no lion. There's tiger. So the first prince of this, so Sunny Nautama or something like that, I've got to go back to history. He saw a lion when he was in this island. That must be a powerful prophetic vision, isn't it? Singapore, this region has no lion. I mean, you can call it cat. Cat is not that big. And so on. He saw a lion, and we are called the Lion City. Our destiny is if Jesus is in this place. The true lion of the tribe of Judah in Singapore. Then we are true Lion City. Now, this destiny is being hijacked. The one that sits at the mouth of Singapore River is Malayan. Half a lion, half a fish. No. Yeah. So if we all desire for this one king, Lion of the tribe of Judah, we truly walk into that destiny. If we have Jesus in this place, all issues settle. Amen? We used to sing this song, when Jesus walked into this room, so on and so on happened. To me, when Jesus walked into this room, everything is irrelevant. Whether it's healing, whether it's church growth. I mean, no, I'm not saying these are bad. These are good, but this is not the primary. If Jesus walked into this room, everything becomes irrelevant. Because the one that we love is here. But the key is I love what Jess shared. Because I was provoked, saying, man, you know, I want that, you know. So tonight, no seafood, you know. We fast and we pray. I hope that provoke you, especially the young people. Life don't have to be same old, same old. God is not boring. The Bible is not boring. I keep saying if the Bible is boring, it's because the problem is not with the Bible, the problem is me. If prayer is boring, the problem is not prayer, the problem is me. So I have to cry out to the Lord. You know? Turn me to Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, okay. I promise you, I give you the time, Jess. I just give me, not Jess, Van, 5 minutes. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24, you know. You know, Singapore, we define success differently, but, I mean, we define success by many things, you know, the 5 C's or whatever. Embrace this verse. This is truly my life verse. I know there are many life verses. This is one of it. You know, I pray that before I die or before Jesus returns, either way, that I will do a conference based on this verse. Just 5 minutes to declare. You know, if you know the Bible, you know the nature of God. God hates boasting. But there's one thing He allows you to boast, which is this. That you know and understand Him. I pray, you know, my passion for beside Jesus and my wife too, my passion is for the youth to rise above in Singapore, to know the Lord, to know and understand God. That is the key thing, you know. They are just going to do the one thing. I tell the young people, I'm going to retire by 60, and I'm going to just pursue the Lord with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. So when I'm old, sitting on a rocking chair, telling my grandchildren, you know, about Jesus. That's my dream. My dream is not 24/7 house of prayer. It's a burden. My dream is not standing up here to tell you negative things. It's a burden. That's the key thing. Let's read Jeremiah 9, 23, 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. In our society, we will boast. You know, how many PhD you have, you know, keep getting permanent, PhD is permanent head damage, you know, keep having head damage and so on. And let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. You see, God is not impressed if you are smart. I mean, man, he's a Genesis 1 God. I know, and I look at Annabelle recently put a clip, or rather a write-out about universe, galaxy, and so on. I said, wow, that's a Genesis 1 God. The one who did Genesis 1, he's pretty hard to be impressed. Your church is big, you know, 10,000, 100,000, 50,000. It's not going to impress him. Yeah. So, no, there are things that move God's heart. There are things that He's not impressed. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Nor let the rich man boast in his riches. God is not impressed. But there are things that move His heart that we need to know. Verse 24. Let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. Wow. Wow, I want to be one that understands and knows. Everyone can. He didn't say, let Jeremiah boast in this. Let Jess boast in this. Let Alice boast in this, and so on, or Van boast in this. Let him, anyone, is for you to take. Press in that you know and understand God. Amen. If there's one thing that I want to do, even what we do in House of Prayer, I want to provoke people to go after God, to go further, and so on. Take me to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. You know, I love, you know, I mean, this is the best way to prepare a message. You know, just say, I go home, go into a hotel and just listen. You know that it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a man who have a history with the Lord, you know, try to not go back, to not come out of sermon. You probably get nothing. It's someone who has wait, press in, go deep with the Lord. They have the history with the Lord so that when moment comes, they have something to draw from. You know, if not, you have never opened the Bible and where is Zechariah? And it's like 1989, the Lord says Zechariah 8, and says, where is Zechariah? I didn't know where that there's a book of Zechariah. But that, to me, it provokes me, it reminds me, you know, he stood in the counsel of the Lord and he heard God. We all can be that voice. If you would take time to stand in the counsel of the Lord Yeah, that's what provoked me, and I hope that you can take that away, that everyone in this room, young, old, tall, short, and so on and whatever, that if we would take time to do that one thing that matter, we all can have a real history of the God, with the Lord. We all can have we all can be the very voice of God, even in such a time as this, that we all have clarity, just taking time in the counsel of the Lord. I thought it was powerful, you know, I hope I'm not the only one who picked that up. I said, wow, hotel, you know, I check in the same unit number, you know, so when you check out, I check in tomorrow. Hot shower too? Okay, yeah, Eddie Ma is... Okay, good. Tell me how many temperature and what is the temperature, what is the degree? And no, we are just joking. Don't get into that. That is deadly. Okay, but that the key. What I'm trying to build on and say is that it's not just available to Jazz. It's available to every one of us. And the goal is not even to be the voice of God. To me, being the voice of God is the result of my encounter with the Lord. Being the voice of God is a result of my history with the Lord. That is a byproduct. A lot of time we focus on the byproduct, so we get all stressed about it. It's just the outflow. To me, the greatest delight, like John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, I stand and hear his voice. Hearing the voice of my bridegroom, who is Jesus, is my joy. My joy now is fulfilled. That is the key thing. But of course, that, you know, walk with God, there's always that he wants to partner with you. But that is that is the byproduct, that is the result. But the joy is we all hear God. We all can have a real, deep, authentic history with the Lord. Singapore has no chance. The world has no chance if every one of us is hot. Every one of us have a real history with God. They will see. But it doesn't have to restrict to just Jazz or Van or Alice or whoever. Every one of us can be, should be, shall be. Our focus should not just be put on a great man speaking on the pulpit. I always tell people, do you aim to be, is your goal is just a number in the crowd or the voice? We all can have a real encounter with. Take me to Jeremiah 23. Again, it's a big, huge chapter where the Lord rebuked the shepherd because they are not saying the very word of the Lord. Okay, the key, I'm not trying to highlight on that. The key is that why did Jeremiah have the word of the Lord? Because he stood in the council and hear his voice. That is the key thing. And my goal is not even so that I can say something, so that I can run some big conference, write a few books and so on. My number one goal is that I want to have an encounter with him. I want to have a real history with him. I want God to be so real in my heart. I didn't plan to have a vision or dreams and so on. My heart is that I want to hear his voice. Tell me, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What is in your heart, Jesus? And I lean. No. Jeremiah 23, verse 17. Just read through quickly, then I'm going to get Van to share. Then after Van, Jesus is going to share something more. We want to end this time by just praying. Okay. Jeremiah 23, verse 17. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. You know, it's I call it right word, wrong seasoned. You know, it's so important because a lot of times you say, yeah, don't be negative. But the key is that we need to say what is really in the heart of God. And a lot of time we are not really saying, it's not because, not even because people don't want to say negative things, that we are not actually hearing what God is saying in such a time as this. Okay, let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. May this be our life. Amen. Every one of us. That's the key thing, verse 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it? I love it. I love what Jazz here, because whatever he shared, you know, man, that's the best way of preparing sermon, isn't it? You know, shower, 5 minutes, the whole script is out, you know. That's kind of like, you know, no, it's true, it's true. No, I say this, okay. Again, I'm not trying to put down anybody, but as a pastor, as a preacher over the years, this is true. Why preacher is pressured? Because we try to say something. There's a difference between you try to say something versus you have something to say. Ministry become not so hard, being the voice of God become not so hard when you have a real history with the Lord. Oh man, then you have a lot of things to say. Now three of us are fighting to say something. No, we are just kidding. No. So young people, remember this. It's not about you are trying to say something. You have something to say. But when you plug yourself in with the Lord, engage His heart, stand in your counsel daily. The goal is not so that you have something to say. Then the Lord may be silent for a while. Yeah, just to refine your heart. No, the goal is so that we are sensitive to the Lord. Our heart and our spirit is vibrant. I mean, when I hear Jess and man, this guy's heart is alive. His spirit is vibrant. Oh, I love it. I love it. The truth may not be new. John 17 verse 3. Who doesn't know John 17 verse 3? You know, this is eternal life. You shall know God the Father and so on and so on. But that life came forth that really provoked me. That all we need, actually is very simple, is to stand in the counsel of God. Cultivate that realness, that depth, that authenticity. And the word of God will mark our heart. Amen. Yeah, this is what God promised. You know, we had every year we begin with a fast. This year was 50 days. You know, it's like men. You know, we all struggle. You know, one of the day, the Lord spoke so clearly to me. He said, "If you will seriously engage your heart with me," and God said, "I promise you, my word will mark your heart. My word will mark your heart." You know, we are a highly connected world. You know, now WhatsApp, iMessenger, Messenger. What do you have? Line, WeChat. In the past, have QQ. We are so connected to the world. I will call it distracted. But we are so disengaged with God. Yeah, even in all that I know, people in a prayer room pray, have a revelation. Take out. Type your comment in the Facebook. Yeah, we are so highly distracted. I have a phone, but my phone have data plan. Half the time, my data plan is shut down. You know why? I want to be engaged. I want my heart to be engaged with the Lord all the time. It's okay for me to be disconnected with the world most of the time. Because that is most important. Because I want my heart to be alive. Amen? So, please, this is not just reserved to Jazz or Van or whoever. Everybody, we can have it. We can have it, you know. If he has it, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to touch it. I like Elijah. I know, is it like Elijah? Elisha, give me double portion. So, give me two TV. No, I'm just kidding. Give me two. If he has one encounter, I want to have two. No, this is not in the spirit of competition. This is the spirit of spurring one another on. I love in the company of people who are hot. If you have one, I have two. If you have three, I have five. I'm going for it. Then we can share some of this and then we provoke one another and we're going to, man, tonight no seafood. Let's go and fast. That is the goal, okay? Amen? Come, Van. Okay. You see, they are all so smart, all carry a, me. My wife said the phone is smart, but the user is dumb. So hope that Jesus will come back soon because I'm going to be outdated.
Well, actually, I really don't have much to say. I mean, whatever the Lord has told me, I felt it was spoken through Kaechong and Jess already. But I just felt, it's like in the past when we worked together or walked together, the Lord always give us different angles of looking, maybe at the same thing. So when Kaechong invited us to, just come, Jess and I, we felt, we're not here to preach. So I actually had no intention to really preach. But as, Kaechong was speaking and, Jess was speaking, it feels like something that the Lord kept put it upon me that, you know, he want me to just offer my part to you, because, you know, in my life, I didn't actually come to the Lord for a very long time. I got saved when I was at the age of 29, and it was quite interesting because, you know, at the beginning, it was my wife who wanted to go to a church. I was taking care of my oldest daughter. At the time, she was just born. I said, well, please don't come talk to me about this Jesus. I have no interest in that. But, you know, along the way, I was saved. And the my salvation prayer or conversion prayer was like this. I said, Lord, I will seek you earnestly for my whole life, but for one purpose. I want to find out whether you are true or not. If I find out that you are not true, I'm leaving this, you know, faith immediately. I have no interest to know someone who's not real. And that's, I believe that's what Kay Jong and Jesus was saying. I know when I have to speak, you know, especially after them, I feel very inadequate because I have like, well, they've already said it. Oh, I have nothing to say. Oh, I can sing. Thank you. Yeah. Maybe that will be easy. But, you know, really for my heart, you know, after I was saved, the Lord want me to seek something that he always put in my life. And what I've been along my journey, what I've been found is like the Lord is revealing to me the beautiful bride, which is the church, I believe, which is the body of Christ, every one of us over here, but especially through the young generation. Because, you know, we're doing our part, you know, and when I, you know, look at Kay Jong, look at, you know, Jess and other pastors that I know of, I found that we run diligently, you know, wholeheartedly. But a lot of time I feel the younger generation are disconnected. It's like we're doing it for our own. But what the Lord has, I'm not saying them or other pastors, but I feel sometimes that that's what I feel when we're doing something. The young people are not connected, you know, to God through what we do. So the Lord moved my wife and I back to Taiwan in 2006. I was thinking about planting a church, you know, in the countryside, live a, you know, easy life there and doing some ministry work. That's what I wanted to do. But the Lord said, there's no young people in the countryside. I was like, for a year, I was like, oh yeah, that is true. And the Lord said, Vaughn, I want you to start to do a house of prayer. You know, I started to get in touch with house of prayer in 2003. I know how difficult that it is, you know, that is, you know, as I know how difficult it is to start the house of prayer here. So immediately I told the Lord, no, I don't want to do this. You spoke through my wife, so let my wife do it. I will support her. And of course, the Lord didn't let me, but he started to change my heart. It's not that my heart is not right, but it's just like, how do I align with the Lord? So the Lord, through several events, especially through young people, I started to see, you know, there's no other way. The reason I'm saying there's no other way doesn't mean this is the only way, but for a young people to come to like the same pace of running, you know, like the, you know, earlier generation or to what we call the man of God. It's really not on our own strength. It's how much we know of this Jesus and how much do we know of his desire for us. So in our house of prayer, I was quite shocked, you know, when Kay Jong was asking about your age. It's not about not good, but you know, in our house of prayer, when we have a conference, at least 2/3 of the, you know, attendees are under the age of 30 or maybe 25. And I was like, wow. But the Lord was saying, Vaughn, this is what I want you to do, to enlighten the heart of the young people. You know, so I have several things that I want to say, but for time's sake, I'm going to just cut short. Three things I just want to respond to Jess and to Kay Jong and to many of the young people here. You know, the great need of the hour, but how do we engage into that? How do we cultivate that lifestyle? How do we respond to God, because we heard about it and we think about it and we know we need to do that. But how do we start and what do we do? You know, primarily the Lord gave me the story, you know, from the parable in Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. We're not going to read that, but that's the story of the 10 verses. But there are three things that, you know, that I learned or I felt from that passage that I want to share. And that is about how we can start, you know, to walk in this journey to respond to the Lord. The first thing is allowing the Holy Spirit to provoke us in His term. You know, sometimes we've already grown up. You know, every adult or young adult, you live this life for 10, 20 years. There's already some habits, you know, some behavior, some ways of doing things that we're so used to. I think the first thing that we need to be aware is if it is from God. God said, well, the things that He's doing, it's not, you know, eye has nothing, ear has not heard, and it's not even in our mind. You know, a lot of time when I look at myself or when I challenge the young people, I say, well, you know, we look at things this way. Like, for example, we have a group of young youth pastors that I'm working with, about 20 to 30s, that we meet monthly. You know, I work with them, you know. And then one day I was telling them, I said, well, you know, guys, you know, do you guys know 30 years from now, the church are going to be different from it is right now? This, you know, circumstances, the social status, everything, it's not going to be the same as what we're facing right now. But you are the ones who's going to define how church will be look, how church will look like. Of course, we know it's from the Lord, but the leaders or the pastors, you know, are the ones who's taking the, you know, picking up the baton to run with it. So I said, well, how if we can seek the Lord together, you know, and allow the Lord to reveal, you know, what He wants us to do in the years to come? Because guess what? Several of these youth pastors that I'm talking about, they have churches of like more than 1,000 people. You know, and you know, for them to change their way of doing ministry is difficult. I said, well, you know, for you that is difficult, but for the Lord, if the Lord has a vision of what His church is going to look like 30 years from now, and you didn't run that way, you know, it will be more difficult after 20 years. Because when you realize that, you think, wow, this thing is too big. There's no way I'm going to be able to turn if you don't decide to turn it right now. So I feel it's the same thing in our heart. You know, from time to time, I'm not sure about you, but, you know, from time to time, the Lord will provoke me in things or the way, you know, I'm doing things, especially in my relationship with my wife. You know, my wife is a very different person than I. We have totally different personality. We have argument all the time. And, you know, my wife, you know, this is the thing about me. You know, when I have, you know, I have argument with her, I don't like to talk to her. I just like, I'll stay on my side. You stay on your side. After both of us calm down, and then we talk. And then one day my wife bring the Bible and say, you know, the Bible says, you know, don't be angry. I was like, no, so you need to talk to me now because the sun is about to set. I was like, oh my God. So, you know, the Holy Spirit, I pray the Holy Spirit provoked me. And I say, I need to do that. But then later on, she come to me. She said, Von, you're angry. You need to talk to me now. I said, well, don't you just tell me that, you know, I can be angry until before the sunset, you know. And he said, no, you got to improve now. You know, you're no longer alive. So the Holy Spirit is like my wife, you know. He will continue to provoke us with the ways we're doing things. A lot of people feel that they don't want to repent because we always had this, you know, idea that repent means we're doing something wrong. But actually, you know, I always explain to, you know, my young people is that, well, actually, repent is not what because of we doing something wrong. Because the Lord is helping us to refine how we align with Him. You know, think about this. You're going somewhere. Let's, for example, go, I don't know where's the city hall. But from here, you know, we all know what is the straight path. You know, you get a map, you draw a line. But in real life, you can never do that, right? Even if you take a subway, you know, you have to turn in this corner or that corner. Holy Spirit is not drawing a line and, you know, saying, well, you know, if we don't do this, we are wrong. But Holy Spirit is guiding us. In order for us to turn, we need to what? Repent. We need to repent. So allow the Holy Spirit, you know, along the journey, what Kijong shared about, just shared about, allow the Holy Spirit provoke us. Talk to Him and ask Him if what they are sharing is right. Is it for me? Is it true? You know, don't take their words and say, well, because so-and-so say this, so I have to do it. But ask the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit, like my wife, told me that it's right, then for sure you need to what? Repent. You know, because it's not because we're doing these things wrong, but because we want to turn so we can follow the Holy Spirit. All right, I need to be careful. The second thing that I want to share with you is responding in the heartbeat of great commitment. I always say there's only one kind of love from the Lord. It's a wholehearted love. You know, we all know what is the great commitment, right? It's love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and some people say with all your strength. Right, we all know that, but what we don't really know is who started it. Actually, it's not us, it's Jesus. God loves us first, and He said, well, the way I'm loving you is with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I cannot love you 99%. Think about it, ladies, if you marry a guy and he say, I'm only loving you 99%, will you marry him? You better not, right? Because if you want someone to marry you or you allow someone to marry you, you want to make sure he loves you with wholehearted. That's the same way. A lot of the time, I feel if we ask Jesus, I feel Jesus won't be ashamed to tell us, you know, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go all the way in, not just half of the way, but go all the way in. So the second thing I really want to talk about, you know, responding, you know, in the great need of the hour, because it's not the crisis that we are facing. It's that we don't know Jesus and we don't love Him with the same love that He loves us, and we feel that is okay. We feel that is okay. So we need to respond to Him with also a wholehearted love. You know, sometimes it's like, I'm not sure if I can do this. Like, it's my first time working with the worship team today. You know, maybe you don't know that, but we didn't actually even practice before today. We just spent some time together to worship, you know, like about an hour before we led the worship. But for me, that's not the key thing. The key thing is, you know, when we're doing this, can we do it wholeheartedly? Or are we waiting upon, well, Von is the worship leader, so we're going to wait upon him to give us the direction before we do this. I'm not sure about the culture here in Singapore, but like in Taiwan, a lot of young people or, you know, our congregation also have the similar situation. They'll say, if the pastor tell me to do so and so, then I will do it. And some people will even tell me, oh, Von, you are the great man of God. If you tell us to do this, we'll do it. And then I look at the Bible. This looks to me like a, you know, some Old Testament stories. Israel always tell the prophet or the prophet said, "Oh yeah, great prophet, if you tell us what the Lord is saying, we'll surely follow it." But they have never done it, right? They just said it for fun, you know. It's like, "Oh yeah, man of God, we want to listen." You know, a lot of time I feel it happens in the church nowadays as well. You know, we say, "Give us the prophetic word," and we'll do it. Well, actually, most of us did not, right? You know, we like the prophetic words, but we're not responding to it. I'm not saying the prophetic words are wrong, but I'm saying we're not responding to it wholeheartedly. Before my wife and I moved to Taiwan, we discovered she just had our third baby. I have 4 children. Wow. All right. I have 4. And so when right before we moved, you know, we moved in July, and she discovered that she had the baby in early February or January or February. You know, so we're in such a struggle, you know, are we supposed to move in July? Because the Lord seems to tell us the time to move in July. But are we supposed to do it? And then the Lord spoke to through a prophet. She said, you know, whatever you conceived in the States, you know, will bear fruit in Taiwan. Well, actually, you know, to think about it, it's hard, right? You know, people say, "Well, but the you know, mom will be, you know, like 8 months in pregnancy, you know, when you have to leave for Taiwan and things like that." It's like, "Well, what would you guys do?" I said, "Well, if the Lord says this, then we need to respond what? In wholehearted." You know, there's no other way. If the Lord says so, you know, that's the way how I feel. The only way that we can respond. And you know, through that it starts to build trust between us and the Lord. It helps us to learn and to know and to experience His way. A lot of people that I met before, you know, they told me, well, they want to encounter the Lord in a greater measure. But a lot of times what I discover is, especially for the young people, if you don't go all the way in, you will not experience that. And sometimes it will become even a hindrance in your heart because you will grow cold and you say, "God, why didn't you do this for me? Why I did not see this come to pass?" It's not that God doesn't want to bring it to pass or He doesn't want you to encounter it, but because our heart was not responded, you know, wholeheartedly. So we feel cold or we feel the trust relationship could not build. The third thing, and I think it may not be the most difficult thing, but, you know, it's something that I feel always important in my personal life and in our house of prayer, is to decide it, to make a decision to live in the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. You know, I always tell people, you know, Sermon on the Mount is Christianity 101. It's not before Jesus go to the cross, you know, then He gives Sermon on the Mount to the, you know, disciples. It's like when He start to minister, when the disciples, you know, decided to follow Jesus, Jesus said, "Oh, come on, let's come up to this mount and I'm going to show you what you need to do." And a lot of people say, well, if you read through, you know, Matthew 5 to 8, you know, or 7, you know, it will be difficult, you know, to do everything that it says. But what I really liked about is in Matthew 5, I think it's verse 48, Jesus said, "Your Father in heaven is perfect, so what? Be perfect, because your Father in heaven is perfect." You know, a lot of time I feel a lot of people take that as a newer, you know, a New Testament version of Moses' Ten Commandments. It's like God said, "Don't do this, don't do this." Now He said, "Do this, but underline that if you did not do this, I'm going to punish you." Well, you know, my youngest son, he's turning 8 this year. When he was, you know, smaller, like at age age of 4 or 5. He doesn't really know how to play guitar or sing, whatever. But whenever I led, you know, worship, you know, even in the house of prayer, he would literally bring a toy guitar and standing right next to me and doing this like he was doing it. And then at the age of 5, he started to learn how to play xylophone or these things. And he asked his mom, say, "Mom, can I bring the xylophone on stage and play with that?" Everybody was shocked. It's like, well, we don't know how to. I said, "Let him do it." So he actually brought his little xylophone on the pulpit and then led the worship with me. And of course, every note is what? Out of tune, out beat. But yes, boncha, boncha, that's right. But you know, people are so excited. Why are they so excited? You know, because he's trying his best. What? Do it. But in my son's heart, it's not about if he can achieve it or if he can do it or not. But he wants to be like his father. He said, "My father," you know, he called, because my Chinese name is Guo Feng. And he said, "Oh, I am Xiao Guo Feng." You know, it's like we have Christ and we are Christians, which means little Christ. See, and he said, "Oh, my dad is Guo Feng, then I'm small Guo Feng." That's okay. Even I cannot sing that well, or I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to play guitar. And for me, that is the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. It's not a criteria. The Lord says, you know, if you don't live this out, you're going to be in trouble. But it's like Jesus saying, you know, this is how Christians are supposed to live. It's an invitation for every one of his disciples or for every Christian to say, "Well, come, let's live as the Father he lives." Now, how he lived that, you know, how Jesus, you know, lives when he walked on the earth. This is Jesus kind of like saying, "Well, this is how I live. I want to invite you to live the same way I live. I know you may be weak. I know you may not be able to do everything I'm doing. But it's not about if you can do it or not. Jesus knows that we cannot do everything perfectly. But it's that willing heart that we say, Jesus will go do We'll go all the way in. We'll do just like what you will do with a simple heart or a pure heart. Just like my son said, "My father, he's doing this, you know, even though I don't know how to play guitar, but I'm just going to do it. And I don't want to just sit in the seats. I want to be on the stage with him." I don't believe that's his personal ambition, try to achieve his career or business or things like that. You know, inside of him, it's just that simple. I want to be like my father. And I believe if we have that mentality inside of us, and if we start to respond, you know, in that mentality to live out that Sermon on the Mount lifestyle, we'll see the difference. So these are the three things I want to encourage you and I want to share with you, especially for the young people. And you, if you are above, you know, the age of 35 like me, a lot of people ask me this question. They say, "Well, Van, you always talk to the young people, but how about the rest of us?" I say, "Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself too. I'm saying I'm doing this so I can make an example for my children. When they see that, they know that I'm serious about what I'm doing. Just like what you shared. Because we're so serious. It's not just, you know, we perform a religious play. It's like we're so serious about God. And when our children see this, they will say, 'Dad or Mom, we want to, you know, we want to receive whatever you receive.'" Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Wow, so we've been at it since 2, and there's definitely a lot more in our hearts to share because it's really reflecting a life journey that has been a passion that's gripped us. And honestly, that passion often will get mistaken as just fanaticism. Because what the Lord is actually desiring for us as human beings who live on earth to enter into is so profoundly different from this age. My flesh often will accuse me. And so I want to say that to you because I want you guys to know that it's not like, it's not a just a simple walk, but it is a necessary walk. You know, the burden of my heart, especially for today, I'm going to repeat it, is when I was last night just saying, Lord, what is the great need of this hour? And he just said, Jess, it's been the same. The great need of every hour is that will there be people on earth who live on earth but whose mindset, whose hearts are connected heavenward in an intentional way, in an ever-increasing, deeper way. So we can't just, we don't want to just say, okay, I'm a Christian and I've done this, and I look like my spiritual life is good. It's a ever-increasing depth. Darkness is very busy, aggressively moving forward. And darkness did that. Actually, in the book of Genesis, darkness already moved so far ahead that the time of Noah had to undergo the divine response from heaven. But you know that the divine response from heaven is that in the midst of unrighteousness, God still choose to find one man. That's why I said I love the word but, B-U-T in the Bible. Even though in that generation, even though in that age, everything was defined as darkness, every intent of the heart of man was evil. This is just Genesis chapter 6. It's very, very early on. But there was a phrase, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And Noah entered into the purpose of his existence for that hour is to be one man with a family. Is he perfect? No. But somehow he found favor in the eyes of God. His heart had enough connectedness, and his mind has enough connectedness with that, with the eternal perspective, with the heavenward perspective. He had enough connectedness with God where God says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God, and Noah became that powerful answer for the need of humanity's hour. And that's what it's about for me. And we don't have to think about what great things we will do. We just believe that those who know God will stand and will carry out great exploits in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, greatness has to be defined by the eyes of God. Greatness has to be defined by your personal interaction with God. Otherwise, we get into comparison. Otherwise, we fall into the world's definition of many things, and then we kind of slap spiritual, we tape spirituality on top of that. And so we run after many things that makes us feel great, but at the end of the day, we realize it's quite empty. See, greatness has to be defined by God and by his personal interaction with you. Otherwise, one day, we may desperately regret that we have chased after nothingness. You know what I mean? For one man, greatness could be he shared the gospel to one person and God says, you are great. For another man, God may define his greatness as you were obedient to raise up and make a church. They're both great in the eyes of God. I believe it sincerely with my heart. That's why I don't need an ambition to be great in the eyes of God. I don't need to keep looking for the next bigger pulpit that I can end up standing on. I have just as much joy speaking to a church of 20, which I often do, as well as if God takes me to a stage of 15,000, which I have stood on. You know, the feel, the difference is you got a lot more eyes staring at you. You need a better sound system. That's really the difference. Okay, you become more popular. People know you, but they don't really know me. They just know the man on stage whom they think must be a superstar of some sort. But I know who I am. I don't want to lie about who I am. So those kind of arenas and realms, God is saying, no, that in the need of the hour, we must get so real that we feel like we're going to die if we're not real with God. Are you willing to get that troubling effect into your heart so that you don't just get numb? Don't get numb. Don't be jaded. Because Jesus never said it was going to be easy. You must contend for your faith. You must contend with desperation. Still live through your day, okay? Don't act like nobody. I mean, people still have to interact with you, but internally there's that place where it says, Lord, I must know you. I must encounter you. You know, like Kichong was saying, if just got an encounter, I want to. You can be greedy that way. That's holy greediness. I think that's permitted from heaven. And that's true. I share my testimony not as a bat to beat up on you, see how poor you are. No, I share testimony because I believe testimony is a seed that if I share it out, if one family can watch a movie and get a sign from the Lord, maybe 100 more can. Or at least 100 more can pick up on the possibility of God. So in this final few moments, I still feel that burning zeal. There's so much other things I can say about standing in this hour for sexual purity, the marriage redefinition. We have to stand and become martyrs for that. Those who can say maybe on another time. But today I just feel that strong burden that we who are in this room or we who are the body of Christ must have strong faith and have a determination. Like, you must do this in my life. A strong faith and a determination to find ourselves in a place where I know why I'm living today. And that definition comes from this God who knew you while you were in your mother's womb and who actually ordained you. Your life must be an intentional discovery of what you've been ordained unto. And don't look left and right. There's no need for comparison. Because it's your life. Because it's his plan for your life. I just have a zeal for that. And I want to just end in closing that there must be a breakthrough in your life in your current level of encounter with him. You like that? But it comes with being troubled though. Okay, you okay with that? You okay with feeling the hunger of it? And it bothers you to the point where sometimes you will scream for it. Not in anger, but in hunger. Because when you say yes to the glorious things, you will realize the reality of how your context is so far from those glorious things. But that is the principle of hunger. You realize you're so far away from it, your context, your environment, that creates that internal, but no. And I'm telling this to you because that's been my journey. the real stories that I have to offer came from real being disturbed inside, or better said, provoked. But provoking can disturb you. It disturbs your sleep. It disturbs your time. But yet, when that breakthrough comes, you will go, wow, that was worth it. Okay, Lord, when's the next time? I want to get disturbed again. And so I would like for breakthrough in that area, for my and for the church, because the great need of the hour is not about one man, it's about the body of Christ. The church to be the church. Breakthrough to know him. How do you know him? He has many ways. When you encounter that, you will say, wow, I'm beginning to know him. And I know many of you have had those, but I'm asking for a breakthrough. And a breakthrough in his active leadership over your life. We must have that. We must connect ourselves to his leadership, because he's already defined our lives from eternity. You know, whether it be movies, someone pointing at you, whether it be many other stories that happened to me and stories that I've heard about other people, but a breakthrough in his active leadership in your life, where you know you have heard the word of God in your heart and he has confirmed it, he has led you. Okay, and this active leadership breakthrough can apply in where you're at right now, in your context, whether you're a student, whether you're a 家庭主妇, housewife, whether you are, I have to think Chinese now to interpret myself, whether you're in the corporate world, wherever, that's okay. But don't just presume that's business as usual. Say, Lord, I want to have breakthrough of your leadership in my context that I'm in. I want to know your ways in the very context that you're in. Because I don't want to boast in my wisdom. I don't want to boast in my strength. Although everyone around me seems to be doing that. Especially in Singapore. Because Singapore is the number one of the number ones. Korea is a strong contender. Taiwan is trying to be. But when we think about Japan, Korea, and Singapore, we know you guys are like, right there. But why not be number one in the desire for the realness of God to manifest in our lives? Because it's not about who he is. It's about us hungering and connecting. Here, Genesis 1, God just was, okay. And to know his ways, to know his leadership, to know meaning, experience it, and you become familiar. And when you become familiar, you desire more and more, 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 more. And your life becomes a manifestation of his leadership, because you were ordained for that. Okay. But I want to be more blunt, more honest. If you're willing to go this route, there may be some of you, or many of you, well, when you begin to hunger, where you want to align your existence with what's been predetermined in your life, your destiny, that you may have to go through radical change. Why? Because chances are, many of us, our life direction was set by the influences of the culture. But I would say, don't feel disheartened, because God's zeal for his eternal plans for you, he will not let go of you. Sometimes we figure out in a later age, sometimes we figure out earlier. But that's all, that's just the context of our upbringing. But in God's heart, he says, if I could just catch your attention now, from this day on forward, you can come into a realignment. So that's why I want to be honest. Some of you, when you say, yes, 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 I want this, God is saying, are you sure? Because what if you have to undergo a career change? What if you have to move to another nation? That's what happened to me. I've never dreamt about it. It's repulsive. What, Taiwan? Yeah, I was born there, but that's all I want to know about it. And now my children are living in the land with me. In fact, my two older ones moved back to Taiwan 3 years before I did, while they were 17 and 15. Because they discovered that they were ordained for that land. That's craziness. Because sometimes and oftentimes aligning with God looks like craziness. What? My daughter, when she took the American college entrance exam, she scored 99.6%. I don't know what she missed. Maybe a dot on an I or something. 99.6. But never one day did I tell her she has to perform academically. So she got a big stack of invitations from top colleges in the United States. You know how that would make a Chinese parent float in the air? But you know what? This is a testimony. I'm proud of her and I'm thankful. But it did not move my heart. Because my heart is only moved when my daughter understands why she's living. Scholarships. Then other colleges says, come, we'll give you 100% scholarship. My heart didn't move. Her heart didn't move. See, that's why sometimes you have to wonder, am I just crazy? And then many people are going, what? You're crazy. You're crazy. Your dad's crazy. You are crazy. Everybody, your family's just crazy. I would give $1 million if I was in your place. It's true. It's true. I think if I had a stack of college entrance with scholarship and I went around Singapore selling it, I could just fill in any one of your children's name, I could probably become a multimillionaire. Because the value system has so defined the importance of it. And so I said, Abby, let's pray. She says, yes. She prayed. She quieted down. And the Lord says, Abby, do you remember when you were 12? I told you already. And she was reminded. And so she went to Taiwan. She never went to college. Is it crazy? It could be. But the only reason why it's not crazy is because she was ordained for it. And to be a Chinese person scoring 99.6 with a stack of college invitations and scholarship, doing that, you must have enough hunger to say, Lord, I want to exist the way you wanted me to exist. And that's what I'm saying. For some of us, as we get serious about this, you may find yourself having to transition to where God intends you to be. And that transition could be violently difficult. But I'm saying it because it's worth it. Because we are in an hour of crisis, and the only real answer is us aligning to God in this way. We should pray.
Let me just say a few things. I forget everything. I think this is so powerful that we have to hear, you know. That testimony is so powerful, you know. Someone forsake universities and so on. And that's how we define success differently. Yeah, success is have to be defined in accordance with the heart of God. I always say this, that if our children know God, love God, first thing. Second, if our children has a godly character, godly value, second thing. The third thing, if our children live out the call of God in their life, whether they are doctors, lawyer, driving a taxi, they are successful. It has to be defined by God, not how the world defines. And I'm saying, so we have to redefine some of these things. And if there's one thing that God is saying throughout these 3-4 hours, is real, deep, authentic. You know, if you take away nothing, just remember these three words. You know, we have friends here who share and their life that is real. You know, that provoke us, isn't it? You know, the world is not looking for talent, giftings. The world is looking for realness. The world is looking for a real God. And I'm looking for a real God. And it's for every one of us, not just a few of us. If there's one thing that it seems like God is saying this, you know, real, deep, authentic. And it's time that we have to realign ourselves, you know, individually and corporately. That is the key thing. You know, I keep saying, I don't want to do prayer. I'm tired of doing prayer. I don't want to do house of prayer. I'm tired of doing house of prayer. I'm tired of doing worship. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to encounter God. You know, especially in the IHOP world, we talk about enjoyable prayer. I don't want enjoyable prayer. I want to enjoy God through prayer. The goal is not to enjoy prayer. The goal is to, we want to encounter God. That is the key thing. Why don't we have the worship team come? You know? We just want to end with time of prayer. You know, we're going to pick up that. Let's pray for a breakthrough personally. You know, if you feel that God is not real, you know, I don't have enough encounters with the Lord, thank God when we cry out to God, God hears our prayers. And God more than desire of breaking in to encounter us. Like Isaiah 30, the Lord is waiting. You know, very often we sing the song, we wait for you. We wait for you. Walk in this room. When you read Isaiah 30, verse 18 and 19, the verse says, at the sound of our cry, He will answer. And all the time God is telling me, you know, no, I'm actually waiting for you. If you cry out, I'm going to come. You know, if there's one thing that, you know, a lot of, many of the things that we want to share is on our what do you call that? Our website. Yeah, our website. We talk about the leadership of Jesus that we need to know. We talk about being wise and watchful and so on. It's on our website and our hearts will get it right. But that, if there's one thing, it seems like the Lord is leading us that way, that I love doing things like that. You know, just the very word of God. Being real, being deep, being authentic. But that's individually or as a corporate body of Christ. That we are, you know, firstly, it's ourselves. And secondly, we're going to show to the world. Amen.